Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
DNVR Draft Pod with the homies, full squad in full effect. They're in finally back to one sport mode, which I love for you guys. I'm sure it doesn't feel that way because Cruton season, you know, Cruton season, and you guys got some Cruters over there. We, as always, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the king of all sportsbooks and of drafts, frankly. I would happily get into some first overall pick odds with you guys. I may have hammered Bryce Young four unit play mere days ago because it's at plus money. J Mike, Jake, how are we doing in that order?
I'm doing better now that I know I can get Bryce Young at the number one pick at plus money. Gonna do that when Jake starts talking. But
that's my guy.
It's been, you know, a tough time. Those that follow me know that I'm going through some stuff behind the scenes, but it's fun to be in bowl season. This is my favorite time of the year, daytime college football. It's like 9:30 in the morning and we already have a bowl game on. It really doesn't get better than this.
Love that. Love you, J-Mac. Jake, how are we doing, man?
Not too bad.
Is this another calm before the storm moment for you?
Oh, it definitely feels like it.
Yeah.
I've had a few of those over the past couple of weeks, but this one, it feels really real. Even yesterday, not really much news and stuff coming through, but one of the biggest recruiting weekends in Colorado football history is coming up. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's exciting times. It is less exciting for the Denver Broncos, though some are hyping themselves over that offensive performance last week. No judgments here. The Niners, as we predicted, on the verge of a Super Bowl. Brock Purdy's the next Brady. And the football gods suddenly hate us. But that's neither here nor there. It's mock season. J-Mike, plus 135. Bryce Young, we're hammering away. First overall pick.
Oh yeah, I just placed it. I just emptied the rest of my account on it.
Look at
which I'm gonna regret because now I'm gonna have to do a deposit for bowl games, but that's okay.
Yeah, that does stink, but that'll be nice. From now, Jake, we're not crazy for that, right?
No, absolutely not. And if you hit the boosted McCaffrey anytime touchdown last night, you should have a little extra in your bankroll right now, too.
Ugh. Brandon Ayuk screwed a plus 2,800 SGP we had.
No.
Yeah, we needed 12 more yards from him and it would have hit. Had a Nick Bosa exact sack, McCaffrey anytime TUD, Brock Purdy overs. It was an adjusted under. It was fire.
That's a great boosted play. They have so many guys though. They're almost like the Warriors a couple years ago where they're hard to bet on because is it a Steph night or a Clay night?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, with Debo out, we thought it was a Clay night.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
It wasn't. Sad.
Hey, sometimes great plays just don't hit. That doesn't mean they weren't a great play. The under didn't hit in the Army-Navy game for the first time in 12 years because it went to overtime. We had so much space, even when it went to OT. I didn't feel that nervous. It was like, one side will kick a field goal, one side will hit a touchdown. We're still going to be okay. Two plays in like 2 minutes, it kills what should have been the safest bet of the week. But that's how it goes. You know, that's why it's gambling and why Vegas always wins.
Put that on my tombstone, though. It's all about the process. You know, that sounds like coach speak, but it's all about the process. It's the process that matters, not the result. Stay process oriented. Bryce Young, mock season feels like the consensus pick right now. That's what we're seeing on the Ringer. That's what McShay had on his latest mock. We might run a simulator here. And what we said would be the nightmare scenario for the Broncos is in play right now. They are a top three pick, which coming into this, even as the season started to go south, we said, like, as long as it's not CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, or Will Anderson, you're losing out on. This is survivable. So we are in the worst timeline.
This is the bad place.
Yeah, this is the bad place. Luckily, the Seahawks are being mocked to take Jalen Carter, which I will take. I will take that. I will take that. Will Anderson
That'd
will
be insane,
haunt me.
Right? Like, as good as Geno has been, Will Anderson, I could understand because I really do think he's like a Bosa type generational, and maybe Jalen Carter is too. But with these quarterbacks, like betting on Geno to do this for the next 5-6 years, that seems like I wouldn't put that at minus money that he's going to come out ahead in that scenario.
It says a lot about CJ Stroud and where we're at with CJ Stroud's stock.
Yeah, it's true.
Which, honestly, had things just ended for him and he would have declared early and not played in like a quote-unquote meaningless New York Six Bowl, which the meaning is the same it's been in its history. I hate that, but whatever. Mm-hmm. He has a second chance of life because this is, I think, showing up against the Georgia D would mean more than any of the historic show up against the Bama D. And, you know, like that's a list we have mentioned, that list of guys who showed up against Bama's defense. That's like a draft pod staple, you know, Deshaun twice and
Baker and Kyler and Denzel.
Yeah,
I mean,
Denzel's a great one.
It puts you in the conversation.
Yeah, we thought Mallett would do it. He did not. Of course, Swag Kelly's the really fun one. I think there's a Spencer Knight Fiesta Bowl, like the last time Bama didn't make the playoffs, basically.
Bama kind of laid down in that one.
Though a young Derrick Henry, I believe, like first ever touches he gets at Bama dominates that second half. God, I love college football. So do it against the Georgia D. This conversation's flipped on its head. All of a sudden, emptying the account, maybe Justin feels like a bad call on Bryce Young first overall.
No, it could happen. I mean, CJ had all the hype coming in. Like, we know how this works. People want to affirm their opinion. If their opinion coming into the year was he's the real deal, they're looking for that. And he has an opportunity to show it. Obviously, he's going to have pro day and the whole like pre-draft process as well. But doing it against this Georgia defense will benefit you more than just about any other scenario. Like it's like balling out in the Senior Bowl. If you're a G5 guy, you know, it's just one of those where it's what you need. If you want to go in the top 10, I still think he's a top 10 pick even now, but you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Well, and I mean, the thing he has over Bryce is measurables and arm talent, which definitely stands out.
Well, and you look at a guy like Kyler and his injury. You know, he's been really injury prone these last couple of years. We've talked about it a lot. Bryce is not a big guy. He's really elusive and he seems to kind of be like early Russell Wilson where he just avoids those big hits. He'll lay down. He'll take the cell back if he has to. He's really good at improvising. His mobility is great, but I mean, these NFL defensive tackles, every single one of them, you know, 300 plus, like, it does worry me. Like, as much as I think Bryce can small. Be that guy, he's small.
Like, this would have been a non-starter even 5 years ago.
Yeah, he would be an anomaly in terms of like a successful NFL career at this size at that position. Now, the rules help too. Obviously, you can't do much to a quarterback these days. You know, even like going back to when all that horrific stuff happened to RG3, you could still kind of murder the quarterback nowadays. I mean, you can barely tackle him, so that helps too. But it only takes one. It only takes one is the problem.
Yeah, for sure. Moving on to the Broncos' actual pick, Ringer having Trenton Simpson, the Clemson kind of do-it-all linebacker, at 25th overall, which really becomes 24 because of the forfeited Miami Dolphins pick. And McShay had Jamar Gibbs, the Alabama running back, which we certainly are fans of. And some interesting picks right behind Clark Phillips, Devin Witherspoon. It does seem like the rankings lately are going cornerback crazy. Antonio Johnson, my guy, the safety out of Texas A&M. So yeah, boys, how are we seeing these two picks?
Don't like them. I like the Gibbs one a little. I'm not a fan of the Simpson pick right now. I mean, that just feels kind of like they're mailing it in on the Broncos, man. I mean, they need help all over the place. Don't give them just a linebacker.
The Broncos are going to re-sign Singleton, right?
We'll see.
Great, he's playing.
We'll see. I mean, you got to really see, like, what's the coaching staff who's still coaching this defense, you know?
Good point.
It's a factor too.
Good point.
Yeah, it would be crazy to go offense or not go offense. Jamar Gibbs, while we might hate it, I can see a lot of it. In McShay's mock, he goes like top five. In Kelly's mock, he goes the very next pick. Or Bijan Robinson goes top five. And in Kelly's mock draft, he goes right after the Broncos pick. Bijan would be really intriguing. If he were to slip to 20, Jalin Hyatt and his deep speed, who has declared early, would be really intriguing. So I don't know. I think a lot of these could be reaches, but they're at a point where you need to add some elements to this offense to kind of complement everything and make it work to some extent. Or you just go meat and potatoes and you add some O-line talent.
Jahmyr Gibbs is a home run hitter. I will say that. Like, he's the type of guy, one touch can change the game. He's very elusive in the open field. I think he can be an Alvin Kamara type. I would be surprised if he and Bijan don't go higher than that. I mean, you never know with the running back position. It seems to kind of fluctuate in terms of how, you know, NFL teams value it. But I would love Gibbs, and I would especially love it because it would prevent him from landing with the Chiefs, because I think if he lands in their offense, that's absolutely terrifying.
The Ringer mock, I can't help but question, because like four of the five picks after the Trenton Simpson pick are all guys I'd rather have. I'd rather have Bijan Robinson. I'd rather have Zach Harrison. I'd rather have Clark Phillips, and I'd rather have Jackson Smith and Jigba. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Broncos are taking a linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Also, I would just say linebacker, running back, that doesn't feel like the kind of picks George Payton, who's really shown himself to value premium positions and to trade premium spots for, you know, like at value to waste this first rounder that they so desperately need on a linebacker or running back, who I think he knows you can probably find later on.
Mm-hmm. Is there any chance they take a quarterback just to get that fifth year option and a cheap deal?
We got to see who declares, because all these mocks have three quarterbacks going top 10. Hendon Hooker, unlike his teammate Jalin Hyatt, has not declared yet. Cam Ward, who we will be talking about in segment two, is probably not going to declare or hasn't said anything yet. I really wonder what the second, like what the second tier of this quarterback class is going to look like when it's all said and done. And Justin, before starting off air, we were talking about kind of the NIL added factor to all this, where a lot of these guys are more incentivized to stay in school and just get that money. Because if you are getting NIL money, chances are, especially in the Power Five, the quarterback's getting some of the larger chunks. And then the other factor is you're going to have to come into what promises to be a very nice 2024 quarterback class as well.
I just wonder with some of these guys if they'll actually benefit by coming back for another year.
I don't know. I don't know. We've seen it work out in the past.
Who are you talking about specifically, though, Justin?
It's like Jurkovic and Leary and some of these guys. Like, how much more can you show at the collegiate level at this point that's really going to, like, completely changed the opinion of everybody that have watched you for multiple years now? So you can't have the Jalen Hurts season where all of a sudden you go out to Oklahoma and you kind of put it more together, and then, so I don't know, maybe I'm being too cynical.
We've seen it happen with the grad transfers for sure through the years. I mean, Joe Burrow was nothing. Baker was a walk-on at Texas Tech, you know. So like, guys start off slow and show some signs. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think more of Jeff Driskel as the ultimate example. Like, highly touted recruit, has no NFL chance, transfers to LA Tech, and turns into a good prospect. The notable quarterback who did declare is Anthony Richardson. And he's going to be very interesting.
And he's the one where I would have said, I think I would go back.
Oh, I mean,
man.
Like, Jake, doesn't he have, it's a shame Caleb Williams exists, because he has transferred to Lincoln Riley and get your shit fixed to become the number one overall pick, like, yeah, written all over him. All over.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is, we are in a new era of quarterback evaluations. And Anthony Richardson is going to be like the ultimate test case. We're going to rewrite what Justin Fields was in college. Be like, oh no, he can be Justin Fields. Justin Fields at Ohio State was five
of the levels.
I mean, like, as a passer, was just like 2 years.
It's not even close. Yeah.
Just absurd. Like, cooking Big Ten defenses and just doing it consistently to some of the best wide receivers in one of the best passing offenses in the entire country. It's just not comparable. But because of how Justin Fields has played with the Bears this year, we're going to start, oh, he's like Justin Fields. Well, no, they were completely different. He's going to get Lamar comps. Lamar, I keep on saying, not just at the quarterback position, at any position, best runner, ball in his hands I've ever witnessed. Go back to watch that Florida State tape in that Heisman year. Holy shit, that was insane. And Josh Allen's another test case because, oh, well, below 60% completions. Like, watch that Wyoming tape, especially this last year. It's very, like, bleh. And Hurts, even more so, is the ultimate test case of, like, well, like, Hurts at Alabama is who Anthony Richardson is now. And if you
Hurts was more polished as a passer at that point.
I don't know, not a ton,
but Hurts could do like the dink and dunk stuff. He just really didn't show a lot of timing throws, and he would hit open receivers. He just didn't do anything that impressed you. They had these guys under him that were so much more poised.
He had much better feel for the game than Richardson does at this point, too.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, before Jalen transferred out of Alabama.
That's, I mean,
all
fair.
He did was win. Granted, he had a lot of talent around him.
Well, certainly.
But he played well.
Really fair. I think A. Rich just has shown way more high-end flashes as a passer than Hurts ever did at Bama.
He's just erratic. Like, when you see the high moments, I mean, he was so good in that Utah game. He had me backpedaling on every criticism I had of him. And then for a month straight, he had me backpedaling my backpedal on him. And it's just like, I don't know what to make of this guy, but he has the traits. He's going to go higher than he probably should because of that. And he's probably also going to play too early, and we'll see what happens there. Either he figures it out or he becomes a bust. And it's just, how many times have we seen this?
I mean, I don't know, man. He finished the year with only 53.8% completion. Justin, talk about that Utah game. He completed 70% of his passes in that game. He only threw it for 168 yards. It was the rushing stuff in that game that was really eye-popping. It wasn't even really as a passer. Man. It's going to be a fun tape to watch, but this is a tough one.
Shout out to guys like JT Daniels, though, and Keaton Slovis, who are just going to play college football for as long forever as they physically... Hey, enjoy the ride.
In perpetuity.
Oh, Knicks.
Yeah.
Why not, man?
Yeah, I'm almost kind of for it at this point. Do we want to run a quick sim?
Let's do it.
Run a couple.
Oh, yeah? Right. Okay, lay it on us.
I like this one more. So first overall was Bryce Young, second overall Will Anderson, then Paris Johnson, then CJ Stroud. In terms of the Broncos, they're picking at 6 in mocks. Clark Phillips goes at 22, Cam Smith from South Carolina at 23, Eli Ricks at 24, that's 3 straight corners, and then Jared Verse, the edge from Florida State after that. We are left with Bijan Robinson, Isaiah Foskey, Broderick Jones, offensive tackle Georgia, Antonio Johnson, safety A&M, BJ Olari, edge LSU, our guy Jahmyr Gibbs, Hendon Hooker, Josh Downs is there, Darnell Washington. So,
to me, this seems like a clear Broderick Johnson pick. That's some value.
There's no way he's going to be there, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Foskey's not a bad pick.
Foskey's not a bad pick.
Ojulari and Bijan Robinson, because that's the hard one for me. Because I think both can be potentially like day one impact, you know, elite at their positions.
And I'll make the case for Bijan just because I know it's a running back, and I know that this first round pick is very, very valuable, and using it on a running back would be highly controversial. But if Russ is still playing at an average level at best, you're going to need a better running back, and you're going to need a more potent running game than what you have this year. Bijan Robinson would give you that. So
he's such a change of pace. If you get creative, you can really use him in unique ways that make that offense completely different to defend against. And I think, you know, if you can ever get a healthy Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick to be playing together on the outside, Judy and Dulcich, you know, mucking it up in the slot, and then you have a change of pace guy or, you know, the kind of a flex running back like Bijan Robinson, you could really do some unique, interesting things that make you way harder to scheme up, way easier to read the defense, get it out quick, and just like open up the field and your big play ability. So yeah, I think Bijan's a really, really intriguing pick. I just don't think he'll be around. I kind of think running backs that impact the passing game are a different position in the draft. And I think because Gibbs and Bijan are those guys, I just think they're going to be treated almost like wide receivers. Also, Quentin Johnson still doesn't get the respect he deserves. Absolute phenom. If he was around at all, pick him up and figure out the rest later.
He went an 8th overall in this one.
Good. Also, yeah, Eli Ricks isn't a first rounder.
Yeah, sorry, that's to an interrupt. Odd one too, man. No, you're fine. That's an odd one.
Yeah. Okay. And is the other one worth mentioning?
Honestly, I didn't look at it. I'll just look at who's available in this one. Who's available is Peter Skoronski, Broderick Jones, Antonio Johnson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Eli Ricks, Josh Downs. So this one, actually, I don't know. The top of this one is weirder, but it looks like the better prospects actually did go before or where they should, at least.
Well, and you worry that every week with the Niners figuring out ways to win, that this pick just becomes worse and worse. Sooner or later, the Brock Purdy bubble has to burst.
We need a wild upset so bad.
And I mean, how do these Big 12 quarterbacks keep doing it? Give me all the Max Duggins stock, all in.
Because they all play a lot. It's all the benefit of being a multi-year starter and getting that time to roll through it in the process and like go through the highs and lows. I understand that some of these guys and the plus traits and wanting to get to the pros as fast as you can, but I mean, there's a reason Bill Parcells had that process back in the day, because time and time again, that's the more proven track record to success.
Jake, when I was messing around with you, asking you about Purdy in the office, and you brought up Bill Parcells' rules off the bat. Yeah, I really think there's something to that, man. I really think there's something to that. Just reps, experience. Yeah, great point. I don't have a good transition, but you can find great points at DraftKings Sportsbook, where they're on a heater right now. Holiday season, bowl season, playoffs, World Cup final, college hoops. How are these college hoops unders treating you, J-Mike?
Kind of hit or miss. Really good at the beginning. This part of the season gets wonky because you have a mix of really high caliber top 10 type matchups, but then you also have some what CSU had last weekend, where you're playing in NIAM and CSU scored the third most points in program history. And it was I thought that was going to be an easy under. Right. And it was not even close. So it's been a little bit erratic, but I still think they are the play in college basketball, especially as the season tightens up and you get these big moments. Yes, you'll have the occasional night where the guys just go off and the crowd's going crazy, but college kids tense up, they do, and shots start finding the rim, and it's just a wonky, wonky game. And I understand why people don't like it sometimes because of that, but it's why I love it.
And it's why I love betting unders on college hoops, always at DraftKings Sportsbook, where right now, when you bet on a new user's bet on an NFL money line, bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. All sorts of stepped up parlays, bonuses, boosts. It's amazing. They're the best. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code DNVR. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
We love DraftKings because they bring us just variety. Like Trey said, the options are endless. And that's what I also love about our partners, Breckenridge Brewery. The options are endless when it comes to just making any event better. You could bring the mini keg of Christmas ale and immediately lighten up the holiday vibes, get everybody feeling good. You can get the Fun Slinger, which is absolutely crushable. It's their new collab with Never Summer. We love the local ties. All of their beers are made with 100% renewable energy. We stand an energy conscious company. And what's really cool is they just always provide unique opportunities for people. If you need a last minute Christmas gift idea, you can enter your favorite beer lover into Breck's Nice List sweepstakes. That's at breckbrew.com. Search the Nice List. There's all kinds of cool opportunities in there. And what's also cool is if you want to get some Breck, maybe you haven't had the new option, maybe you haven't had it ever, you can go to breckbrew.com and check out Breck Beer Locator. It's going to tell you the closest liquor store, grocery store, whatever near you. Make it nice and convenient. I don't know about you guys, but I love that. I hate pacing the aisles trying to find one specific beer or booze. There's so many options. I get overwhelmed. This takes all that out of it. Hit up breckbrew.com. They are the bee's knees. You will not regret it.
J. Mike says it. It's true. NCAA football, ever heard of it? Bowl season. Do we start with this one already in action? No, UAB is up 10. Forget it. Sorry, Miami of Ohio.
They were double digit favorites coming in. They were 11 point favorites. This was kind of expected. So it's unfortunate. We always get a couple of stinkers in bowl season, but If you love the game, that's part of the process. You take a couple of blowouts so that you can get the random epic Wednesday game. If you don't get the lows, you don't get the highs. You got to take them all.
Yeah, do you treat it like the tournament where we just automatically bet every underdog straight up and enough big dogs hit that it like we made a profit on that? Can we treat bowl season like that?
I think it's worth exploring just because you're going to have a lot of teams in positions where it's the underdog that is going to care about the bowl more, because you have a team that underachieved playing a team that either overachieved and or met their goal, where ending with a bowl victory is fine. It means something. It's symbolic. Or, you know, you're a team that came up short. It's like a Cincinnati playing Louisville. Cincinnati's actually underdogs in this one just because they've had so many people leave. But, you know, like that's not satisfying to them after making the college football playoff last year. Florida's right. Playing, you know, Oregon State, Fresno State, Washington State. There's a lot of matchups here you can kind of dive into where you can find some value.
It's crazy. The book's kind of on the dogs.
I think the books think what we're thinking based on going through these lines. As I started talking, I was like, well, that doesn't really help me out, but I will find one that works.
Well, crazy. Louisville's 1.5-point favorites. Malik Cunningham declared for the draft and said he wasn't going to play in the bowl game. They're favorites without their starting quarterback.
That's insane. Yeah, see, take Cincy. I don't know, but it's Luke Fickle hangover season.
Didn't Cincinnati hire Louisville's coach?
Oh, J. Mike, oh, man. Oh, J. Mike.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Oh, boy.
Hold on, boys.
They did. Oh, wow.
Satterfield, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. That's insane.
Oh, there's some revenge here. Holy cow. I'm all twisted up in a knot.
I know I'm going to watch that. That game just became significantly more intriguing.
UTSA Troy are both very good football teams, with UTSA favored by 2.5. Do we have that a leaning?
It just moved. It was at 3. It just moved.
You can get Troy at 2.5 at plus money, though, which I like the value there.
Okay. Now we're talking. Dog one in full effect. We are taking Cincy. Like, I don't care about the revenge factor.
Give me the more established program.
If Malik Cunningham's not playing, what are we doing?
Yep.
Florida, Oregon State. Jake, start us off.
Well, is Anthony Richardson playing? Do we know if he...
If he declared, he can't.
So then...
Kevin Dexter also declared, so their best players are already out.
No, give me Oregon State then. This team has been awesome all year. I don't care. It's 10 points. They're the better team.
This is also a big opportunity for Oregon State, a team that was extremely competitive all season long and kind of got overshadowed by some of the USC hype and even like Utah and Oregon to an extent. Like, this is a hard-nosed football team. They run the ball well. They have an identity. And, you know, for an Oregon State, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, a win over Florida, that would mean something to their fans. It doesn't matter that it's not a New Year's Six Bowl. It doesn't matter that it's not for a national championship. Like, this is an opportunity for a program that typically gets overlooked to be like, oh, SEC team, we just kicked their ass and ran for 300 yards.
They also, you know, they just miss out on the top 12. Like, now's the time to earn that respect so that next year, if you're right on the verge, you might have a better chance. Yeah, check out Oregon State playing big boy football. Washington State, Fresno State. Amazing. That's a quarterback fun game. Matchup. Yeah, J. Mike.
If both Jake Haner and
Cam Ward,
thank you. It's like, yep. I can see his face right now. End up playing in this. This could be one of the better quarterback versus quarterback matchups in all of bowl season.
Absolutely.
Fresno State's hot right now. They're just playing really good football these past 2 months. Washington State has some defensive opt-outs because their defensive coordinator left for Arizona State, I believe. I just like Fresno State. They're in a position where they wanted to achieve higher than they did. They were hoping for a New Year's Six Bowl. But, you know, to go out on top with all the veterans they have, I know would mean something to these guys. They're tight with Tedford. It's like this whole story. I love taking the underdogs in most scenarios. I'd maybe consider trying to buy Fresno State up a couple points, like take it like Fresno State minus six or something. Risky, but you might be able to get some juice there.
Fresno State defensively, I know, hasn't been great this year, but Washington State offensively has been inconsistent at times. And I just trust Jay Kaner and what that team has done so much more. I think I'm with Justin on Florida or Fresno State here.
Yeah, my stupid lizard brain would love to make a case for Washington State's defensive talent.
And the thing is, though, some of those guys aren't playing. Like Deion Henley has already opted out. A couple of guys in the secondary have opted out.
And I mean, the book favoring Fresno tells you everything. It's like they're going to be the more motivated team. Like
in LA, no too. Doubt. So it should be a pro Fresno crowd, just an easier travel for a fan base that'll be excited.
An all-time great season for the program. It'd been a while. Like, had they won the conference when Carr and Devontae were there?
Not when Carr and Devontae were there, but they did win it a couple of years ago. Not with Hayner.
When Hayner,
right before him.
Right.
Their quarterback before Tedford had to leave, and it's why they ended up getting DeBoer from Indiana.
Yep. Okay, that makes sense. But, you know, it's an all-time great season that you want to cap off with like a big win and a bowl game against
the Power
5 opponent.
Especially because they lost some early. You know, like they've talked about that. They were like, yeah, we can't do what we hope to do, but it kind of humbled us a little bit. And now we're eager to show everybody like, no, we really are that team. We just kind of stumbled and had some injuries.
Yeah. Okay, you've talked me into Fresno by a million. I don't know. I mean, Justin, I'd happily fly by BYU, SMU, Boise, North Texas, Eastern Michigan, San Jose State, Toledo.
Boise,
Liberty.
North Texas sounds like a pretty lopsided matchup, in my opinion.
Well, Boise's 10.5-point favorites for a reason. I could see it being a position where they score some points, though. I mean, Boise...
59.5.
Boise wanted to win the conference. They didn't. So this is, you know, a little bit of a disappointment for them. But they're in a position where they're kind of trying to ascend and build off of what they've established this year with the freshman quarterback. They, too, have some guys that are veterans and have stuck around that I think will play in this bowl game, like JL Skinner at safety and some of these guys that would like to go out on top. I don't like backing Boise State just on principle, but make some money and take them to cover this 10.5.
All I know about the Eastern Michigan, San Jose State, and Toledo Liberty, it wasn't a great year of MAC football. Just wasn't. There wasn't a really good team. These are the best teams from the conference, but you're talking about an 8-4 Eastern Michigan, an 8-5 Toledo. Obviously, San Jose State, Liberty, not world beaters either, but just felt like a down year for the conference, and I kind of don't think they're necessarily sending the best of the best to bowl season. So I'm inclined to fade both of those.
I'm right there with you. I like Liberty, especially against Toledo at +165. Yep, I know they lost their coach, but those players are still going to be eager. It can kind of go either way in that scenario. Like, I mean, CSU 2014 Las Vegas Bowl, they lose McElwain. They kind of just lay down despite having their whole team play. But I think there's too much talent on that Liberty team. And like you said, the MAC just entertaining, but nothing to brag about.
Liberty was a top 25 team at one point here.
Yeah, that's a lot of value. +165, 4.5-point dogs. Yeah. They might have check into some opt-outs, I guess, before I say that confidently. But
I guess.
I love San Jose State, too, to beat Eastern Michigan.
Liberty beat Arkansas outright. They trounced BYU this year. They almost upset Virginia Tech. Yeah, they lost by 1 point to, at that point, ranked Wake Forest. Yeah, Liberty's good. Do not overlook them. Baylor Air Force, I imagine Baylor has some early declarations impacting this, especially if their big nose tackle, who's a definite prospect, Sakai Ika, isn't playing. That's huge for Air Force being able to run the ball, in my opinion.
I have a hard time seeing Baylor beat this Air Force team. They're so experienced on both sides of the ball. I don't know. Baylor is talented and offensively, but just what does this game mean to them? I guess that's what I come into.
Yep,
Calhoun's teams are really good in bowls, and you can get them at +190. You could parlay Air Force +190 with Liberty +165 and get +668. Just saying.
Wow.
Not bad. Houston, Louisiana, Lafayette. I'd kind of close it out with that. I guess Wake, Missouri is that same day.
Pretty much there.
Fine. If Hartman's playing, I'm tuning into Wake. I like Hartman. I think he's a classic stay in school, and there might be some buzz. They might be sneaky in the ACC, especially with some of those other quarterbacks leaving. And yeah, Houston, Louisiana, Lafayette. Not a ton to offer there. Fellas, any closing notes? Anything else you want to touch on? Again, these guys are in the middle of recruiting season, college hoops. Lots going on. So follow Jake, DMVR Buffs. Follow Justin, DMVR Rams. And yeah, we'll be back next week. We are, you know, flying our pirate flag half mast this week and forever, man. An all-time favorite of the pod, no doubt. So thinking of Coach Leach and his family for sure. So love you all. Happy holidays. Be back next week. Bye.
Driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.